Welcome back to the News at Noon. The Adams County Sheriff's Office is currently under investigation following an officer-involved shooting that resulted in the death of a 48-year-old Hancock man Monday at approximately 5:09 p.m. Deputies responded to a 911 call from a resident in the 600 block of 3rd Avenue who reported their neighbor was, quote, going crazy and waving a firearm. Upon arrival, law enforcement encountered a male subject matching the caller's description standing in a field with a handgun. Despite repeated verbal commands from an Adams County deputy and a Town of Rome police officer to drop the weapon, the individual refused to comply and retreated toward his residence. Shortly after, the subject exited his home while still holding the firearm and approached the deputy. The deputy discharged one round from a department-issued rifle, striking the subject. Law enforcement immediately rendered first aid and summoned Washera County EMS to the scene, but the subject succumbed to his injuries and was pronounced deceased. The handgun was recovered at the scene. Pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 175.47, the Columbia County Sheriff's Office has been tapped to lead an independent investigation assisted by the Sauk, Marquette, Washera, and Juneau County Sheriff's Offices. Both responding officers were equipped with body-worn cameras and driving marked camera-equipped squad cars. All involved agencies are cooperating with the investigation, and the Adams County deputy has been placed on administrative assignment per department policy. The Wisconsin State Patrol, Adams County Medical Examiner's Office, Plainfield Fire Department, and Adams County District Attorney's Office are also providing assistance. The subject's identity is being withheld pending next of kin notification. On Monday, July 27th, a violent F2 tornado struck the Fox Valley area, causing significant damage across Menasha, Nina, and Appleton. The National Weather Service confirmed the tornado, which was described as extremely dangerous, touched down near Menasha and moved over Lake Winnebago, leaving behind a trail of destruction in its path. In response to the storm's impact, the city of Nina has declared a local state of emergency effective as of 5:30 p.m., allowing the city to coordinate resources and manage emergency efforts. Similarly, the city of Menasha has implemented a citywide curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m., which will remain in effect until further notice, though it excludes those necessary for employment. The city of Appleton has also mobilized all departments to prioritize emergency response and assess damages. Residents in these communities are urged to prioritize their safety by staying away from damaged areas and downed power lines and by following official guidance. Authorities continue to coordinate response and recovery efforts with county and state emergency management agencies, and residents are being encouraged to monitor official communication channels for ongoing updates. Visit volunteerfoxcities.com for more information on response to the tornado. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee met Monday to address a range of administrative, facility, and development issues. Discussion opened with concerns regarding IT infrastructure as members reported difficulties with form submission caused by outdated software and restrictive email policies. To address these challenges, the committee plans to invite IT staff to a future meeting to explore system improvements. The committee also evaluated several development proposals, most notably a plan presented by Marty Richards to transform a portion of the Ash Creek Forest into an ATV-UTV park. The committee explored the potential for revenue generation through a limited permit system alongside broader concepts such as integrating mountain biking and other recreational activities. Expanding utilization of county resources was a recurring theme, with members highlighting a need for increased camping capacity and the implementation of online registration. Discussions regarding the fairgrounds indicated that the site is currently well-suited for motorsports, though it faces limitations regarding shade and strategic planning. The committee identified significant potential for corporate sponsorships and agreed that researching other venues could provide valuable insights. Additionally, the committee noted that the Tourism Board has transitioned to an independent status, which is expected to provide greater flexibility for pursuing new projects and boosting overnight stays. Financial and facility planning remained a priority. The committee discussed reviewing the actual numbers reserved for non-mandated services to better inform upcoming budget decisions. Furthermore, funding for facility improvements faced scrutiny after HVAC upgrade costs for the Simons Center and the Community Services Building exceeded expectations. Consequently, the committee postponed further action on the Comprehensive Facility Improvement Plan until their next meeting. The National Night Out is a substance-free event dedicated to fostering a safe, healthy, and genuine community spirit for residents of all ages. This year, the festivities have moved to a new location at the Richland County Fairgrounds. August 5th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., attendees can enjoy a wide array of family-friendly activities, including a canine 5K run or walk, live music, and various food trucks. The event also features exciting demonstrations from first responders and local fire departments, making it a perfect evening for community engagement and fun. Police Chief Billy Jones and Sheriff Clay Porter were this morning's guests on our morning show. Chief Jones talked about why he looks forward to this event every year.
You know, just getting the community together, keeping it light, you know, talking a little shop with the community, talking about, you know, our vehicles and what specialties that we see, but really, you know, just connecting with people, you know, just seeing faces we haven't seen for a while, you know, remembering names we haven't spoke a while, you know, we haven't talked to people, and just seeing everybody have a good time.
Sheriff Porter looks forward to time shared with fellow first responders and looks forward to a possible pie in the face to raise money for future events.
A lot of times we don't get together with the fire departments and EMS outside of an event, right? Outside of some sort of crisis. So besides engaging with the community, it also gives us as first responders an opportunity to just go have some fun together as well, right? So yeah, it's a great event. This pie in the face thing, you know, show a little bit more of our human side, right? And then raise some money to help sustain the event.
In addition to local canine officers, squad cars, and other emergency vehicles, MedFlight will also be on hand, weather permitting, at the National Night Out August 5th at the Richland County Fairgrounds. Greater Richland Tourism met yesterday to discuss several key updates for the area. During the meeting, the board approved tourism grants to support the Wheels of Time event and the Crime Stoppers Murder Mystery Weekend. Additionally, attendees received updates regarding kayaking opportunities on the Pine River and discussed the potential development of an off-road ATV park in Richland County. Tourism Director Marty Richards also reported that another township is currently considering the adoption of a room tax, a move that would enable the township to retain 30% of the generated revenue. The Richland Center General Government Committee is set to hold its upcoming monthly meeting today, beginning at 5:30 p.m. The session will take place in the Council Room of the Municipal Building. This meeting serves as a primary forum for city leadership to address pressing administrative and developmental matters affecting the municipality. The agenda for the evening features several significant items related to city property and development. Committee members are expected to review a purchase inquiry and discuss the future utilization of 254 East Hazeltine Street. Additionally, the committee will receive an update on the status of the development agreement for 291 North Jefferson, which will include a review of compliance and enforcement options, as well as the consideration of alternative redevelopment strategies for the site. Further discussions will focus on industrial and community interests. The committee intends to establish a formal position regarding the sale of industrial park land for the purpose of constructing storage unit facilities. Members will also consider a request from Lydia's House Ministries concerning a warranty deed, title search, and potential loan forgiveness for the property at 929 West Seminary Street. Administrative and policy updates round out the scheduled business for the session. These items include a proposed agreement with Rhyme Business Products for copiers within the municipal building and the consideration of a reimbursement request for an employee whose vehicle window was damaged during grounds maintenance. Finally, the committee will discuss the establishment of a formal city policy regarding community recognitions, such as the presentation of keys to the city, proclamations, and honorary resolutions. The Richland County Natural Resources Standing Committee is scheduled to meet Monday, August 3rd at 9:30 a.m. in the Richland County Boardroom located at the courthouse. The meeting will cover a variety of zoning and policy topics. Among the key items on the agenda are several zoning petitions, including requests for parcel splits and rezoning, as well as applications for conditional use permits. The committee will also receive and review departmental reports from the zoning administrator, the county conservationist, the UW Extension, and the real property lister. Additional business will include discussions regarding updates to the county's short-term rental ordinance and potential revisions to zoning rules concerning chickens and junk properties. The agenda also features critical discussions on the proposed 765 kV transmission line and the consideration of a moratorium on data centers. For those unable to attend in person, virtual meeting information can be found on the county website. Congressman Derek Van Orden has introduced two new pieces of legislation aimed at enhancing security at Veterans Affairs facilities and providing medical support for retired federal working dogs. The first, the VA Police Security Enhancement Act, focuses on bolstering safety protocols. This act seeks to expand the definition of VA property under federal law and grant VA police officers broader security responsibilities. It also promotes coordination with local law enforcement, updates facility security, increases oversight, and creates a dedicated account for staffing and training needs. Van Orden emphasized that these measures are essential to ensure the safety of the veterans who rely on these facilities. The second proposal, the Canine Hero Act of 2026, establishes a federal grant program to assist nonprofit organizations with the veterinary costs of caring for retired federal working dogs. These animals have served alongside military, law enforcement, and homeland security personnel, and the legislation acknowledges their contributions by supporting the organizations that provide their post-service care. As a 26-year Navy SEAL veteran and a member of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, Van Orden continues to focus on advocacy for both veterans and their families. Wisconsin consumer protection officials are warning families to watch for back-to-school shopping scams online. The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection says scammers often use social media ads, emails, and text messages to lure shoppers with steep discounts that never materialize. Officials advise consumers to verify website addresses before entering personal or payment information and to be cautious of deals that seem too good to be true. They also recommend using credit cards for online purchases because they offer added fraud protections if products never arrive or aren't as advertised. EAA AirVenture 2026 has logged another record-breaking turnout. While the final attendance numbers have yet to be released, EAA CEO and Chairman Jack Pelton says initial signs point to another record year. Already looking to AirVenture 2027, Pelton says plans call for celebrating Kids Venture's new home on the AirVenture grounds, catering to young aspiring aviators and the 100th anniversary of Charles Lindbergh's solo transatlantic flight from New York to Paris. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has issued a sharp rebuke of the Trump administration's decision to abruptly cancel $94 million in funding for 150 grants through the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. This sudden withdrawal of support has effectively halted vital health research, clinical trials, and training programs intended for the next generation of scientists. Senator Baldwin criticized the administration for the erratic nature of these cuts, noting that interrupting multi-year research projects midstream not only wastes years of diligent work, but also squanders millions of taxpayer dollars. The funding cuts impact essential medical advancements, including research aimed at helping physicians detect lung cancer at earlier stages, improving safety protocols for new mothers and infants during childbirth, and expanding telehealth services to bridge the healthcare gap in rural communities. Among the most notable cancellations is a University of Wisconsin project focused on utilizing artificial intelligence to enhance the hospital experience for children and their families. This specific program had been recently highlighted by the administration as a model for pediatric care innovation before being terminated for being deemed inconsistent with agency priorities. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has officially opened the application window for the Dairy Processor Grant Program, inviting licensed dairy processors across the state to submit their proposals by noon on September 1st. These grants serve as a vital resource for the state's dairy industry, designed specifically to foster innovation, enhance profitability, and secure the long-term viability of Wisconsin's dairy processing infrastructure. Recognizing the program's past successes, Governor Evers and the state legislature have allocated additional funding within the 2025 through 27 biennial budget to further support these efforts. Eligibility for the program is extended to facilities licensed in Wisconsin that are actively engaged in the pasteurization, processing, or manufacturing of milk and dairy products. The flexibility of the grant funding allows recipients to address a wide array of business needs, ranging from critical food safety upgrades and staff training to professional consulting services and significant plant modernization or expansion projects. Under the competitive selection process, individual projects are eligible to receive up to $50,000 in funding, provided that the applicants commit to a 20% match of the total grant amount. Since the Dairy Processor Grant Program was established in 2014, it has seen robust participation, receiving 283 proposals and successfully funding 148 projects with a total investment of $3.8 million. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced a coordinated and phased reopening of southern cattle ports of entry, beginning with the Douglas, Arizona port on August 24th. This strategic move is contingent upon Mexico's continued adherence to the Joint Action Plan, which aims to suppress the spread of New World screwworm and protect the American livestock industry from this invasive pest. Under this phased approach, the reopening of the Douglas port borders Sonora, a state recognized for its strong animal health infrastructure and successful disease control measures. While this first step is initiated, the USDA is also preparing the operational steps necessary for subsequent openings at the Santa Teresa and Columbus ports in New Mexico. The timeline remains flexible and will be adjusted based on progress meeting critical milestones in the action plan. Rigorous safety protocols remain a top priority to ensure the protection of domestic herds. Every animal entering the United States through these reopened ports will undergo a full USDA inspection, specifically to ensure they are free of any signs of New World screwworm. This high level of scrutiny is essential for maintaining the safety and profitability of the American livestock industry, which has faced significant challenges during the necessary closure of these ports over the past year. The Wisconsin State Patrol is currently seeking certified law enforcement officers for its upcoming 74th recruit class, which marks the agency's third class of lateral hires. Applications for these positions are being accepted through August 30th. Lateral hires are defined as officers who are already certified and possess professional experience in the field. While these candidates follow the same comprehensive hiring process as traditional recruits, they benefit from an accelerated training program at the Wisconsin State Patrol Academy before graduating as troopers. To be eligible for the lateral entry program, applicants must have at least 1 year of law enforcement experience within the past 3 years. They must also meet specific certification criteria, such as being currently licensed in law enforcement or tribal law enforcement, serving as a federal law enforcement officer, or holding military veteran status in a law enforcement military occupational specialty. Furthermore, candidates are required to have an associate degree or minimum of 60 college-level credits, although up to 60 credits may be waived for individuals with equivalent military experience or relevant training. Applicants from outside Wisconsin are welcome to apply, but must be willing to relocate. The selection process for successful candidates includes formal interviews, a thorough background investigation, physical readiness training, and pre-employment medical and psychological examinations. For those selected, training is scheduled to begin at the Academy January 25th, 2027. The 18-week program is designed to alternate between intensive sessions at the Academy and practical field training, leading to a graduation date of April 30th, 2027. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has officially joined a coalition of 26 states in a lawsuit targeting the Trump administration's recent maneuvers regarding federal grant allocations. This legal challenge focuses on decisions made by FEMA and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS, to attach restrictive conditions to billions of dollars in federal counterterrorism and emergency funding. The states contend that these mandates are an attempt to coerce local governments into adopting the administration's specific policy priorities. Central to the lawsuit are requirements that would force states to overhaul their existing election laws. These conditions include the mandatory transmission of voter registration lists to DHS and the use of the Systemic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or SAVE, system to verify the citizenship status of voters and election workers. Furthermore, the administration is seeking to compel states to assist in federal immigration enforcement efforts. The challenge conditions also grant DHS the unilateral authority to terminate these critical grants at any time and for any reason. For Wisconsin, the financial implications are significant. The state currently receives approximately $7 million annually through the Homeland Security Grant Program, funding that is essential for preventing and responding to acts of terrorism. The coalition argues that these funding requirements represent a clear violation of the Administrative Procedure Act and the spending clause of the U.S. Constitution. By filing this suit, the states aim to protect their residents and maintain the stability of emergency preparedness programs without federal overreach. The recent Lumberjack World Championships in Hayward, Wisconsin, saw a historic display of athleticism as three new women's world records were established. Karolina Urbanova of the Czech Republic dominated the chopping events, setting records in the women's underhand chop with a time of 21.28 seconds and the women's standing chop at 19.38 seconds. Hayward's own Meredith Ingbritsen set a new benchmark in the women's boom run, completing the course in 13.78 seconds, so says U.S. News and World Report. These achievements highlight the significant expansion of women's participation in timber sports. While women have been part of the competition since its inception in 1960, their role has grown from log rolling to competing in over 20 diverse events. Richland County 4-H and the Richland County Campus Foundation are teaming up to host the Fall Fest, a free community-wide celebration scheduled for Saturday, August 22nd. The event will take place from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the UW Richland Smart Farm, located at 24970 Smart Lane near Richland Center. This festive gathering is designed for community members of all ages to explore the farm and connect with local organizations. Attendees will have the chance to tour the Smart Farm buildings and visit various booths hosted by local businesses and organizations. The afternoon will be filled with delicious food, engaging games, and activities, providing a unique opportunity for families and neighbors to discover local resources and educational partnerships. The event aims to highlight the importance of agriculture and community collaboration in a welcoming, family-friendly environment. Admission to Fall Fest is completely free, and everyone in the community is encouraged to join the fun. For those seeking additional information or with specific questions, the Extension office is available for contact, or inquiries can be directed to the local Extension office.